And good afternoon. Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I am Phil Taylor. And Phil Conlon is studying his lines and notes for tonight. We're going to be reporting on the election at CIUT, a first, as far as I know. I think the start time is 9 p.m. And, of course, this is the big day, you know. Everybody in Canada has got it on their minds. The Blue Jays have their backs to the wall, and they must do or die. And strangely enough, it coincides that people will be switching back and forth between the election results and the score. On the program today, we're going to speak to Eve Engler, who is has a new book about Africa, a very important one. We'll get into that a little bit, and then later we will talk to Zafar Bengash about the war news from Yemen, Saudi Arabia. I was getting my hopes up. Syria, Iraq, etc. There's been dramatic news. We're going to go at this matter. Specifically, we're going to ask Zafar, what is this new twist of Iraq and Afghanistan, both sort of putting in invitations to the Russian leadership and to see if they can get a little work done. Apparently, Washington really isn't very good. They're good at advertising, but they're not very good at delivering. Eve Engler is with us. Are you there, Eve?
How's it going, Phil?
Very well. Hey, by the way, I want to tell our listeners, we're going to speak to you also later tonight to get your impressions about the vote, so they should look forward to that. It'll be sometime after 9. By the way, you're in New Brunswick, are you?
I'm in Fredericton. Last day of a month-long tour.
You're touring. Listen, tell us how the tour with the book is going, what sort of attendance, what's on people's mind when they talk to you about your new book. I'm looking here, Canada in Africa, 300 Years of Aid and Exploitation. What's your response been like from people?
The response has been, I would say, mixed. A lot of people have been quite supportive, and some pretty good turnouts in different cities. A number of four different ambassadors or high commissioners that came from different African countries to launch in Ottawa was interesting. including an ambassador from Cameroon who had just negotiated the Canada-Cameroon Foreign Investment Promotion Protection Agreement, which I spent some time in my talk criticizing as a sellout of African interests. But that was interesting.
He must have been glad to meet you.
Yeah, he made sure to say that his opinion on the matter. But it's been an interesting tour. I've had some of my best events ever and some of the worst. But I think most people obviously are not particularly familiar with the material that covers and the book covers, and we're sort of
they need to get
taken aback.
They need to get that book. I got to say, you have, in my opinion, broken new ground. You've taken on subjects. You certainly brought everybody up to speed with what is going on in Africa. The phenomenon of neocolonialism is very evident, and from reading it. And you also threw in some history, which should sober Canadians. You reminded them of slaves in Canada, and you also told us, and I wouldn't mind you repeating, actually, that the role of of course, it was the British North America, but they were providing the food for the slaves in the Caribbean islands because they wanted to use all the space in the islands just to raise. I can't name the particular products, but then the fish came from Newfoundland, right?
Yeah, well, basically, there was a great deal of wealth generated in the Atlantic provinces selling cod to the Caribbean slave plantation economies, and basically the plantation owners didn't want to devote any of their land to growing foodstuff for their slaves, but needed a source of high protein, salty, cheap source of food, and a big chunk of that cod came from Newfoundland and Nova Scotia, and it began a major trade relationship primarily between Halifax and the Caribbean. And in the book, I trace some of the wealth used to establish the CIBC and Scotiabank to that trade. So there was a great deal of wealth generated in the Atlantic provinces through that trade, which was probably Canada's biggest contribution to the transatlantic slave trade. But there are other elements, from the fact there were slaves in Canada to the fact there were Canadians in quotations, that helped suppress the great Haitian slave revolution, among other connections.
Yeah, my memory is that in 1797, I think it was, Simcoe, we call him Lord Simcoe, I think, was sent with 6,000 British troops to put down Toussaint and to put the French royalists back in power.
Yeah, exactly.
Colorful moment.
Yeah, no, and the base.
Why don't we celebrate that? I can't, you know, he's such an important name.
But the Halifax naval base was used, you know, as a big part of that that process of trying to suppress the revolts. Obviously, also there were the Maroons from Jamaica that were expelled to Halifax and then ultimately to Sierra Leone. So there's all these sort of interesting connections, and being out here in the Caribbean, out here in the Maritimes. Mm-hmm. It was kind of interesting to see some people's reactions to that history that they are obviously not very familiar with.
I hope they get the book. I mean, people need to read this. It was news to me, but what you've of course found there. It seemed to me you were very diligent. This, by the way, the title is Canada in Africa: 300 Years of Aid and Exploitation. The author is Eve Engler. Is joining us now. And today, in the front page of the New York Times, is talking about Bill Clinton and how enamored he is, he and his foundation, for, I shouldn't just say Bill, it's also Hillary and their daughter, some sort of dynasty at work here. They're very enamored of Paul Kagame, the leader of Rwanda. And it's a rather tortured article trying to explain how the two of these two figures are, why they're so close and what the foundation is doing. Actually, the author isn't quite sure what Clinton does do. What do you think Clinton is up to in Rwanda?
Well, he's obviously a couple of decades worth of political and ideological cover for Paul Kagame, Paul Kagame's escapades into the Congo. I saw that New York Times piece, and
that must be grist for your mill. You must say to yourself, "Oh, I'm going to put that. go to work on that one."
The element I'm actually working on a piece that I don't know if I should announce as public, a piece on Stephen Lewis. So I've been really looking at some of what Stephen Lewis has done on a whole bunch of questions, mostly to do with Africa, but particularly with regards to Rwanda. And it's pretty amazing to see the extent to which Stephen Lewis has gone into justifying Kagame's mass killing in Eastern Congo. And there's a number of occasions where someone like Stephen Lewis, who in his book talks about working closely with the Clinton Foundation, how much sort of ideological support for Kagame Stephen Lewis has given. And it's amazing to see the standing of someone like Stephen Lewis in the Canadian media, and also other people like, you know, Romeo Dallaire. I submitted a piece to Maisonneuve magazine about Romeo Dallaire, and specifically the fact that probably the biggest omission in Canadian foreign policy history discussion over the past two decades is the fact that his boss on the UN mission, Jacques Roger Boubou, the foreign minister from Cameroon, published an entire book titled Le Patron de Dallaire Parle, The Boss of Dallaire Speaks, about Romeo Dallaire's bias in favor of the RPF in Rwanda. And that book was, according to a Canadian newsstand search I did, it had three mentions in the Canadian media, one of which would be viewed as a genuine mention, two of which were basically just dismissals. And I punched in Romeo Dallaire's book into the same Canadian newsstand search, and it was more than 1,700 mm-hmm. mentions of Romeo Dallaire's book, more than 6,000 mentions of Romeo Dallaire in Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
So the layers, the layers.
You're touching one of the Canadian nerves. Part of that is language, is it not? There are books, that's my experience, there's many excellent books in French, very few books in English that deal with the more, let's put it this way, critically and honestly and open the questions that need to be opened.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think language is one of the elements, but the main thing, there's many journalists in Canada that who can read French that, you know, should have mentioned Le Patron de la Parle. I mean, the idea that it's a former Cameroon foreign minister, very good credentials, his Dallaire's boss, whether you agree with what's in there or not, or you, whether you decide you want to investigate more, at minimum, this should be opened for discussion, and the fact that the media has almost entirely suppressed this book, among many others, of course, on the subject, is a you know, interesting comment, and certainly it ties into the fact that Bill Clinton has long-standing close ties with Paul Kagame's Rwanda. Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be also growing closer, I noticed. Eve, it's great talking to you. I look forward to talking to you again later this evening because I really want to hear how you react to the outcome of today's vote. The book is Canada in Africa, 300 Years of Aid and Exploitation. Terrific book. And we'll talk to you later then. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And I could tell our listeners, remind them that something else about that matter is that following the horrible events of April through July 1994, Belgium felt it was necessary to have an inquiry into what took place, and so did France, two major players. And Canada was a big player, but chose never to look into the matter.